Before we start, I just want to thank Tehila for hosting. For offering to host and for hosting. Thank you very much. It's very special. First point I want to say. Second point I want to say, just I got to hear the sound a little bit in the kitchen. It just reminds me of a story. There's a person who does Kiruv, Shalom Bayis, different things in Toronto. His name is Arya Pamensky. So he has one of his Shalom Bayis tapes. He says the following story. See, he'll take couples, he'll do a group of couples at the same time, Shalom Bayis conversation, sheer. So they're not necessarily familiar with each other before they start. And let's say four or five couples at a time. We'll put the men on one side, ladies on the other side. And before he starts, he gives out a questionnaire about something about Shalom Bayis. He gives out a questionnaire to the ladies that are supposed to work on it together on their side, and they're supposed to work it together on their side. Which, of course, lends itself to a lot of interesting stories. But the questionnaire takes about 5-7 minutes to answer. They're given 15 minutes to answer this questionnaire. After 15 minutes, they say, okay, we're finished. Gentlemen, ladies go first. Okay, ladies, please pick a spokesperson. So they pick, Leah is going to be the spokesperson. She gets up and she starts to read the answers. She says, no, Leah, before you start, give me the names of the women in your group. And she gives the names of the women in the group. Tell me something about all the women. And she does. You know, this person is a soccer mom, and this person is in school for this, and this one has three kids. And fine. Then after they give the answers to the questions, and it's the men's turn, it says, okay, before we start, what are the names of your group? It says, I don't know. How long did it take you to answer the questions? 5-7 minutes. It says, so what do you do for the rest of the time? So we talk about sports, he says the first lesson before we start is that women are relationship oriented beings and men are not. That's the first lesson that he starts. He says it works like a charm every single time that he does this. I can't imagine we would have a men's group, we would get such a type of response. What's your name? Whatever. That's as far as it goes. Okay. So, Baruch Hashem. I do want to mention to you that two things. One is, Baruch Hashem, hopefully everybody got an invitation to the chasna. No pressure. But besides that, there is also Sheva Brachas in Yeshiva Monday lunch. So somebody, whoever, strange reason, can't make it to the chasna, wants to come and happens to be in Silver Spring. It's 1 o'clock in Young Yisrael Sheva Emunah. There's a Sheva Brachas for the Yeshiva and the Karmel. Whoever wants to come, please make sure we'd love to have you. That's one. Second thing is, if you don't have my phone number, you can get my. I'll give you my phone number, and you can use it to ask any shaylos, questions, etc. Please do not hesitate to use it, and you can text me as well. My phone number is 301-996-5910. Please feel comfortable using it. You'll write it down, and you'll get it.
My phone's in the kitchen.
Oh yeah.
We'll send it around.
301-996-5910.
5910.
I want to tell you that Baruch Hashem, the Karmel Baruch Hashem is looking beautifully, and it's tremendous nachas. And I want to thank you for allowing your husbands, or supporting your husbands in doing it. It's been a tremendous, it's a beautiful thing to see B'nai Torah sitting and learning, Basmata, working, steiging. It's affecting the yeshiva, it's an impact on the Beis Medrash, an impact on the high school. It's a tremendous skus. On my end, I have tremendous akaras hatov for what you're doing, that it's not necessarily the easiest thing in the world. And I have a curse to the Kodesh Baruch Hu that I'm able to be in the position to have the responsibility to do such a thing and the opportunity to do such a thing, and with all the pressures that come with it, that's a wonderful thing. And that was I want to share maybe a thought with you about that, but I want to stress very strongly, I have tremendous curse to what all of what you're doing. It's tremendous, a beautiful thing. Start with the following thought. We see the Torah, when the Torah presents the lessons that it wants to present, it presents it very much along the lines of individuals. A lot of the lessons of the Torah are given. We talk about Adam, we talk about Noach, we talk about Abraham. The Torah talks about specifically individuals. The Doris in between, there's nobody important to talk about. You get some names and it's done. Vizehu. Here we get to Parshas Shmos, which the function of the Parsha is that the Baruch Shalom is going to be, the Kleisel goes into the situation of Avdus, and the Baruch starts the process of taking out of the Avdus. Moshe Rabbeinu, if that's the goal of the Parsha, there's a lot of extra parts to the Parsha. We have the whole story of Moshe Rabbeinu, and we have the story that he goes out to the Mitzri, and then he goes to Midian, and then Roshan talks to him, and then he refuses. We could theoretically condense all of that. There's a person named Moshe Rabbeinu, the Roshan sends him to be the Shliach to take Klai Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Now let's start. He comes to Paro, and now we start the process of coming out of Mitzrayim. Why do we have to have all of this information about Moshe Rabbeinu? The Torah is a hurrah. The morale explains the first Rashi in Chumash. That Rashi asks the question: the Torah should start from a Chodesh Elokim. It says, why does it start here? So the morale explains, because the Torah is hurrah. Torah is giving you direction how to do things, and the mitzvah start in Chodesh Elokim, and that's where the mitzvah starts. So the Torah is hurrah, so it should start there. Right. So if the answer is not that Torah is not a Hurrah, Torah is a Hurrah, this is also forms of a Hurrah. All of the Sipurim which we have, and the background is all a Hurrah of how to deal with it. Talking in general Klolim about nations doesn't give you lessons. Talking about individuals gives you lessons, because we're individuals. And we're grappling with issues, and we're learning how to deal with issues. And we have times we get it right, and times we get it wrong. We get it sort of get it right. So Noach is like gets it sort of right, and then Abraham gets it right, but he also gets sometimes does something wrong. And the Torah is giving you the process of human beings grappling with. So that's why it has to be written that way. Specifically in Parsha Shmos, we see Moshe Rabbeinu is grappling with being given a shlichus by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now Moshe Rabbeinu's reasons why he's grappling with it probably are a higher madrega of what we're grappling with when we see an opportunity which Shlichus Roshim gives us. He's worried about the impact they'll have on somebody else, and they'll hurt somebody. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is worried about. But here with the Barshim, here is the seeper where he's the right person at the right moment for the it's his responsibility to do something, it's his opportunity to do something. And he's grappling with that, and the Rosh Hashanah is coaxing him into that process. And that's something which we all have in our lives. We have that we are the right person for the right opportunity to do something. But then, you know, am I really good at it? Am I good enough to do that? Can I really handle this? Maybe, say a low self-esteem, And then we say, but maybe it's going to be too overwhelming, and I'm getting involved in other things, and it's pulling away from what I want to do, et cetera, et cetera. We have all these things we grapple with. And the Torah is saying we have to trust the moments of the Hashkocha. The Baruch speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu directly. Sometimes the Baruch speaks to us not directly, but we sort of get. And one of the biggest shlichas that a person has is in their marriage, in the tremendous growth of a family is predicated on the wife and on the mother. There's a beautiful sefer I haven't heard about it recently. So by now there's always something new coming out. You forget about the old ones. There's a person named Rabbi Sil Miller. He used to be in Pittsburgh. Now he's in Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg, one of those capitals of those provinces out there, one of them.
What's his name?
Rabbi Sil Miller. Okay. So he has a few different swarm he put out. The one that he put out was called Guardian of Eden. It was originally published called In Search of the Jewish Woman. That was the name of the you probably get that on eBay nowadays, probably. It's totally out of print. Then he reprinted it again with more. called it Garden of Eden. That's the name of the book. And the message over there is that the woman's role is to be the Shemeris. The woman's role is to be, I mean, she creates the framework which allows people to, the safe framework which allows each individual member of the home, herself included, her husband, her children, to develop their potential and become what they're supposed to become. And that she does that because the morale, based on the ideas of morale, the morale says that a woman is given the ikar, the geisha mitzvahs given to the women are, we sort of understand it means the los aseis, and the man is given more aseis because los aseis is the element of shmira, of protecting something. So the woman's job is to make sure that the bias is protected. It's the minute which we have that the kala goes around the chosen seven times. Why? Who knows? Why did the kala walk around the chosen seven times? What? Right? What?
To make him busy.
Right. So the pasuk says, thank you, Shifra. So I heard it the first time. So the pasuk says that a woman will be a chomer around her husband. She'll be a protective wall around her husband. Why seven times? So seven times because there are seven levels of growth from this world up to the Shemayim. So the process is to create this chomer which allow the couple together to reach up to the madrigas of Shemayim. That being said, and that's true in every in the world of Karlal, it's even more significant that the first of all, many wives to allow somebody to be in Karlal, they're undertaking responsibilities beyond what a person would undertake if their husband would be out working. And nowadays, even the husband works, a lot of wives have to work anyway. But that being said, it definitely creates a pressure. The finances coming in are not great. I apologize about that, but that's where we're at, right? This stage of our life. But even more than that, beyond that, and that's 100% true, but beyond that, the idea that Karlal is a tekufa, it's a tekufa of Chaim where the husband is going to be immersed in Torah. The wife says, what's my chelek? I'm not learning. Right? So yes, we hope that the husband brings home and his simcha is excited, but the woman is coming along and saying, I'm giving up, as it were, what am I getting in return? And the ability to recognize that the bias will get a bracha of kedusha and the hashpah of toiv and shechina because the husband is sitting and learning and bringing Torah into his life, and that will be able to expand it to his wife as well, and that she understands that she's willing to go up to be able to create that atmosphere that she's happy about that. It's a tremendously there's elements of the serious nefesh for it. And something you put make a serious nefesh, the result has to be significant. It has to be positive. I didn't see a shari shub over here. So there's a shari shub. The Sefer Tshuva is written, the Sefer is written, so in the third chelik of the Sefer, he goes through the different mitzvahs and how important they are. He starts with seemingly what seems to be the less important mitzvahs. Rabbanans, he says, no, Rabbanans are very, very important. Aseis, it's only an Aseis, no, no, they're very, very important. And that's the flow of the Sefer. She says that you should know that the Milas HaYonis, the greatest levels that a human being can reach, are all given in Aseis, not in Lois Aseis. He goes through 10 of them. There's the mile of a person who goes with Archei Hashem, Malat Midracha, a person who contemplates the Gdula of Hashem, Vidat Hayom Hashem Eselavecha, Ki Hashem Elokim, the person remembering a Kodesh Baruch Hu's Chasadim, Vizchartes Kol HaDerech, Ava, Dveikus, Yira, etc. So all of those are given in Aseis. So Rabbi Miller in his Sefer points out, you know, he has at the back, he has what he calls letters to a Jewish feminist. And that she's complaining, like, men's got all opportunities and women don't have all the opportunities. He says all these 10 apply to men and women equally. There's no difference in a man and a woman when it comes to these 10. All of these are a lifetime worth of work. So yes, you don't have tefillin, but why are you focusing on what you don't have? Focus on what you do have. Then he says over here, Milas Talmud Torah. And then he says, Milas HaBechira. So there's a Mila called Milas HaBechira. So the I mean, we understand ubakarta b'chai means it's just a vehicle to make a decision. The point is not the decision, the point is the result. There's no mitzvah. What is this mitzvah b'charta b'chai? To choose. He says b'charta b'chai means that a person, that sometimes life goes, and sometimes you make a decision about, you're taking control of your life, and saying, this is, I want something greater, I want something bigger, and I want to be b'char. I choose that. So that, there's a concept of doing that. I believe that the process of, the whole process of choosing to be in Karlel is called many of these milos. I first believe it applies to milos of Bechira, milos Talmud Torah, the milos lech of Darkei Hashem. That be'etzem, the Darkei Hashem is all of the mahu avatos. All of mahu avatos are always about chesed. They're always about giving this. Always that. But they're not about the Bershom judges, etc. They're about he's gabal chasadim and he's cover the mesim and he's mevaker the chaylim. It's all about giving to others, and that's what a wife does, and that's the role that's the tremendous mile of a woman that she's able to do. She's able to give, and she gives and she supports and she recognizes that she's not getting so much, and not getting, she's just giving. Okay, but that's mile. That's that mile. The mila of the Ava of Kadosh Baruch Hu, we express the tremendous amount of Ava. The Morris says, what is Ava? Ava is learning Torah. You get your Ava through the process of seeing the Baruch Hu's message to us. Somebody that I love, okay, the way I explain it like this, maybe that doesn't apply anymore. At least when I was a chassan, the chassan wrote letters to their kavos. Right? That still applies nowadays?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good. Right? Okay.
We talk on the phone too, but yeah.
No, I'm saying, but okay. Hopefully the letters were not just perfunctory letters, they were real letters. Right? Did you read them only once? Twice?
Okay. Keep going.
Keep going. Right. Okay, did you put them away and pick them up again a little later and read them again? Right, so they're saved in a box somewhere.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. Right. I just want to warn you first that does mean at some point in time that your kids are going to find the box and read it.
Some of you left them into your bedroom.
There's no such thing. I don't want you. There's no such thing. It's just that's the way realities of life are. You know, all the plans that what you're going to have control around that, forget it. It's not the game. It's something which is valuable to you. It's something which is precious to you. You don't read it once. You don't read it twice. And if it's something which you didn't understand, and what's the message over here, you want to think about it. And it's important to you when you contemplate it. Right? The Bershom is sending a letter to Klal Yisrael. That's called the Torah. That's his letter that he sent to Klal Yisrael. We read it once, we read it twice, and we try to figure out what does he mean, and we read it, and we like reading it again because it's his letter to us. That's the way we show Ava. We feel his Ava to us, and we express it back is by wanting to understand what his message is. And I think a lot of these elements are something which is very, very apropos to what happens in the process of Karlel. And hopefully the husbands are coming home and they're sharing their excitement and they're sharing their happiness. Hopefully they're excited, they're happy. From what I'm seeing, that's what's happening. I want to say yes, Shakar, to that. I did